Please turn to the book of Proverbs in your Bibles, please. We'll be looking at a number of verses. Most of them, I think, if maybe not all of them, I have reproduced for you in your notes, so you can turn to them if you like, or you can follow along with your notes. We'll spend much of it in chapter 1, but we'll go to different places as well. When we consider the topic of wise counsel in the book of Proverbs, we find that we come upon much wisdom that is not, on the whole, aimed at solving problems, and that might be a surprise to you, but I think that's true. Rather, it addresses to avoid those problems in the first place. So, when we talk about wise counsel and getting it, the book of Proverbs is a place to go so that you are prepared for life, to when the forks come in the road, you take the right fork. Yeah, you're prepared to be wise and make wise decisions. It's not to say that answers to problems when you've already had made mistakes aren't there, but I think on the whole, it's true to say that we're looking to be in a place where we have the wisdom to live wisely. But usually, when we think of people seeking counsel, we assume that they have a problem. But the book of Proverbs has a largely different perspective. Proverbs has the idea of bringing good plans to successful completion. We're going to read a few verses about that. So we often see people with plans here in this book, or being encouraged to have a plan, being encouraged to go here to devise that plan, as opposed to people with problems. The idea presented to us is to get counsel before we fall, not after we fall. So the next time you're studying through Proverbs, keep that in mind, and I think that you will see the same thing. So I want us to walk in victory with a biblical perspective on wise counsel from the book of Proverbs. Now let's talk about this walking in victory first, before we go too far. A lot of times that gets thrown around, being victorious or walking victoriously, walking in victory quite easily, and it's not understood, I think, the way it should be biblically. Walking in victory doesn't mean that you have what you want all the time or that your life is easy. You think about our biblical examples of people who clearly had victorious spiritual lives, and their lives were not easy. As a matter of fact, they're probably more often than not more difficult. Think of a few examples. You think of Paul the Apostle. If the conventional wisdom of today was that God wants you to be happy and have everything you have, then God was not blessing Paul the Apostle, humanly speaking. Because we would say he walked with God and walked with him victoriously, I would think, but he had trials and he had difficulties. And that's because he stood for the Word. He did not succumb to the world. It's because he understood that a victorious walk, quite simply, is walking in obedience with God. Remember last week, we talked about what's the definition of love. Well, love is walking in accordance to if you're going to say you love God, it is walking in accordance to his commands, right? That's what Scripture clearly teaches. So this morning, as we talk about walking in victory, I want us to keep that in mind. A victorious walk is an obedient walk with God. And of course, we always have to go to the Word to find out what that walk looks like. Well, second part of this is that I want us to have a biblical perspective on wise counsel. Because we need the second one to have the first one. What is it? What is wise counsel? How do we get it? Well, the book of Proverbs is where we go to find that out. So let's put all that together. And again, walk in victory with a biblical perspective on wise counsel from the book of Proverbs. So how does having a biblical perspective on wise counsel give me a victorious walk? We're going to look at that this morning. And so let's get started. So number one, we need to pursue wise counsel. Again, don't forget what we started out with. This book, a lot of it is about having a good plan and following a good plan and doing the right thing so that we are not in a place where we are we have self-inflicted wounds and we have problems, and now we're in the pit and we got to find out a way to dig out. So how do we do that? Well, number one, pursue wise counsel. Pursuing wise counsel is itself an indicator of being wise. So chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." These are very important implications to this proverb, and we need to make sure we don't miss them. One is what I will call perpetual pursuit. From the phrase that a wise man will increase learning, we understand that this is an ongoing pursuit, and that the wise man or woman never arrives at a level of wisdom in which they are satisfied, right? So because they will hear and increase learning, they'll understand and will attain wise counsel. So I think we're to understand this in the light that this is a regular pursuit that is, to them, seen as a necessary endeavor in life to avoid the traps that frequent the foolish man. And the book of Proverbs, as you know, often talks about the foolish man, right? And what he has done to get himself into the predicament that he is. So in other words, the way to recognize a person that has understanding is that they do what it takes to attain wise counsel. Because to them, that person with understanding that continues to pursue wisdom, to them, to not do this means certain disaster. So the wise person doesn't say, "Okay, I'm wise. I don't need to learn anything else." But in their wisdom, they say, "I need to learn more. Because if I don't, then I'm going to have problems." Thirdly, it's clearly implied that if it is wise to hear, wise counsel, it says a wise man will hear and increase learning, and to attain wise counsel, then it must be foolish to not do these things. So if it's wise to pursue it and increase, if we're not doing it, then the opposite must be true, that is foolishness. So we shouldn't go away from this proverb thinking that there's some sort of middle ground and we can take or leave the guidance here as we open this book. And a lot of people do that. Not just Proverbs, but Scripture as a whole. We open the book, we read it, and we say, "That's a good guidance. That's a good guideline. Maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't." I think this is telling us that it's foolish not to take the counsel that we see. We'll talk more about the fool in Proverbs later, but suffice it to say that at this point, that the foolish person does not understand the inevitable consequences of their foolish decisions made without counsel. I want to stop for just a moment because maybe I've presume some things that aren't true. As we look at our message this morning, I'm going to think along the lines that we all want to get wise counsel, that we do want it. And maybe that isn't always true, but in my mind, that's the way I'm thinking. So as we think about that, about wanting wise counsel, we'll continue now. The wisdom of pursuing counsel is seen in many other places in Proverbs, as well as And we'll look at some of these now. So just very quickly, as we look at a book that talks about its offering of counsel and the lack of seeking that counsel or following it. Chapter 11, verse 14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure." You probably heard that proverb. Chapter 15 Verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel. Remember what I said before? This is a book that often talks about having a plan, having a good plan, getting counsel, and therefore you get to a good place, instead of being a fool, rejecting the counsel, and then you have a big problem. So that tells us I gotta get back to the Word. And I've got to get into Proverbs and learn what it says about wise counsel. Okay, I know that I need to get it, but what does it really, really say about wise counsel? And that's what I want us to look at. And again, Proverbs is a book that talks about making good plans, getting the information that you need to go forward with that plan, or for somebody to say, hey, that's a bad plan, and you need to go in this direction instead. That's what a lot of the book is about. So again, 15 verse 22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Chapter 20 and verse 18 of Proverbs. Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. Now, we'll talk about the war here in just a moment, but it says make plans by seeking advice. Do you think that that describes who you are? Or do you say, hey, I've got a plan and here I go, and off I go? Does that describe who you are? Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. And then chapter 24 and verse 6, waging war again. For waging war, you need guidance. And for victory, many advisors. You could find more like this. But for this first point, and I'm spending a lot of time on this first point, so I can't go to too many others. But what you're going to continue to see is this making plans, making plans, making plans. That's what wisdom is. That's what the book of Proverbs says. It's not a book where you've made your mistake, and you got to come back and find an answer, although you can do that. But a lot of it is, here is wisdom. Take the wisdom, get the counsel, and make your plan by that. And then you're going to be in a good place. So here in these verses, the obvious counsel here is to seek counsel when you make plans, or more literally, when you are in battle. Now, for the believer, the battle is constant, and going into it without counsel is foolhardy. However, as we talk about this counsel, we need to be careful about whom we go to for this counsel. Our first and most important criteria for making decisions and judgments can be found in Genesis, right from the beginning. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 says to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I command you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Now, this isn't saying you're cursed because you listened to the counsel of your wife. I would never say that. He wasn't at fault for listening to his wife, rather because he listened to her when her advice was contrary to the will of God. Adam had a word from the Lord. And any source that would have come and said, do something different, would have been wrong. All right, so in this case, it was his wife who had been tempted and succumbed and then gave Adam, hey, you should, here's my counsel to you. You should do this. Well, Adam should have known right away, the word from God, the word from a different source, they don't meet, so I take the word from God. So he had it, and he didn't follow it. So that was the problem. Excuse me. No Christian ever needs to seek counsel from sources that do not openly recognize that all truth is God's truth. And boy, there's a lot out there that tries to take the truth of God and combine it with the truth, so-called truth of the world, and say, hey, here's a good thing. Satan even does that, right? As he tempted Jesus, he tried to use a little bit of truth from Scripture, twist it around, and tried to tempt Jesus to sin. So he had to be careful of the source. The natural man or woman, from time to time, may stumble on the truth and speak it. It's not to say that an unbeliever can't speak something that's true. But rest assured that it was God's truth to begin with. It's not something that they came up with on their own. And it's unlikely that they would attribute to God the thankfulness that he deserves for that truth. And as I mentioned before, the natural person, the unbeliever, will mix so much nonsense with the truth that they've come across that their counsel will be far from good. It will cause more harm than good. If we are continually seeking wise counsel, then we should be able to distinguish between advice based on human opinion and the absolute truth of God's Word. So we have to be careful with that. Where is the counsel coming from? Finally, it's important to understand from these Proverbs that many of them are spoken to those who are making plans to wage war. We read that and we made note of that. And these will be addressed to the king or future kings in Israel from kings. Now the king would say, could say, rather, I'm a king, I am the king. I'm obviously blessed by God. I'm in charge. I'm the one who gives counsel, right? As a matter of fact, there's a king writing the words of the Proverbs, many if not most. And they could say, I'm wise enough to give counsel. I don't need to get counsel from anybody else. Of course, he would be foolish to do this. A wise king listens to advisors. Our counselors or advisor needs to be the Word of God itself, and from those who are mature in that Word. To neglect this counsel is to proclaim that we've arrived in wisdom and need nothing else, really. If we're going to neglect the counsel from God's Word and from those whom God has put in place to teach that Word and to use that Word to counsel, which, by the way, is not only the elders. The Bible tells us that as believers, mature believers, we are competent to counsel. We have the ability to do this. If we are, however, weak in the Word, then that ability is diminished. So if we're not in the habit of pursuing wise counsel, hopefully we'll be at least in the habit to receive it when it's given to us. But before we go to our next point, just remember, walk in victory with a biblical perspective on wise counsel. You get that from the book of Proverbs. And remember what we talked about, what a victorious walk is. So walk in obedience with God. But number two, in order to do that, what we need to do is receive wise counsel. Pursue it, and then receive it. Again, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And I didn't focus on this at first, but I'd like to now. It's the and increase learning part of this proverb that shows whether or not we are willing to receive from others the things that we need to know and do. Anyone with hearing ability can hear wise counsel, can physically hear the audible words spoken of wise counsel, but that doesn't mean that they will increase learning. Chapter 12, Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So when we talk about receiving counsel, I would equate that with heeding counsel. Not just hearing it, but heeding it. So there's a difference between hearing and listening. If we're not pursuing wise counsel, then listening becomes an even greater challenge. So if at the beginning we're not pursuing it, then that means really in our heart, it's not something valuable to us. And we'll talk about the value of it in just a few moments. But if we don't value it, we're not pursuing it, then it's going to be very hard to receive it when it's given to us. Sometimes wise counsel is received because we've pursued it. Sometimes wise counsel is given because somebody's concerned about you. And they see that there's things going on that shouldn't be going on. But as chapter 12, verse 15 says, the fool says, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need any wise counsel. We have to be humble enough, and we'll talk about humility as well. We have to be humble enough to say, hey, I think I'm good. I don't see any problems with what I'm doing. But here is somebody who is mature in the Word is coming to me and saying, Dad, there's some problems here, and we need to address them. That's what receiving wise counsel is. Do you want to walk in victory? A life of obedience that honors God? We've got to be here. We've got to be able to receive wise counsel. The opposite of that is to be a fool that is right in his own eyes. So this is very, very important. And not only hearing, but heeding. Being right in our own eyes, as we express our opinions, makes listening to others almost impossible and means that we're acting foolish. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5 is a very interesting verse that speaks to listening and understanding. And it says, "The purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out." And that's exactly what I was just referring to about our ability to be able to listen to somebody else. So here, the purpose of a man's heart is something that can be hard to understand. We see this because Proverbs says it's like deep waters. This means that understanding it will take effort and listening. To understand at this level takes a mind that is clear to self-imposed barriers, such as thinking about what it wants to say to make its point. So you're in a conversation, and if you're in that conversation, you're not really listening. You're only thinking about what you're going to say next. There's no way that you're going to be able to heed counsel or give counsel. Now, understanding these deep waters requires a desire to know what the other person is trying to communicate. So are we hearing and are we listening? Now, usually accepting wise counsel is not usually an exercise in trying to decipher what a counselor is trying to say. If it's a good communicator, they're telling you what you need to hear. The point here is that we need to be willing to work as hard as necessary to understand and receive counsel from the Word of God and from those who are trying to help us. So again, we need to ask ourselves, where's our heart right now? Where are we at today? Is it a heart that is open to the counsel of Scripture? Is it a heart that says, I want to walk in victory. I want to live this short life that I have victoriously in a way that honors God, so that if I'm going down the wrong path, I am open to somebody saying, that's the wrong path. And if they can come to you with Scripture and tell you why that's the wrong path, then are you willing to say, I was wrong. Thank you for that counsel, because this is what Proverbs is talking about, right? We read these verses. Have a good plan. Get counsel. Get wise counsel so that that good plan comes to fruition. And then you're in a place to honor and glorify God. The fool says in his heart, no thank you. Because I'm wise. I'm already wise. The fool says, Proverbs says, the wise man says, I'll get more understanding. And I will learn more. Are we receiving wise counsel? Would we receive wise counsel if it came to us? Walk in victory with a biblical perspective on wise counsel from the book of Proverbs. Our third point is much of the same, but we're just looking at the other side of the coin. You're either receiving the wise counsel or you're rejecting the wise counsel. And as you might expect, the book of Proverbs says, don't reject wise counsel. So starting in chapter 1 and verse 20, let's read a number of verses here. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. So very interesting and beautiful picture here. Wisdom is now personified. It has a voice and it's talking to us now. It says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. And this is what she says. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. So here we go again, just time after time. This book says, listen to what I say now. Make your plans based on wisdom. Start out from the beginning with knowledge and wisdom and counsel, and carry out your plans with that information. It says, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. So what's the implication here? The implication is that because you did not listen to me, wisdom, you will experience disaster. And that's Scripture. And I think you are with me when we can say, I believe that is true. In turn, we'll laugh at your disaster. Verse 26, I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And I'll stop there to say real quick, though we don't need experiences in life to prove Scripture to be true, I think most of us would probably say we know somebody. Or maybe we've been through a stretch of our lives where we said to wisdom, no thank you. And then there was the results that this passage talks about. Or people have said to wise counsel, no thank you. And not too farther down the road of life, there is disaster that could have been avoided if somebody would have looked at the book of Proverbs and said, yes, I see here that I need to make good plans and follow them and not resist, or rather receive good counsel, wise counsel, and not resist good counsel. They would have been in a better place, but instead, exactly this happens. So we see it in life that Scripture is true. Verse 27 again, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. It's very interesting that the book of Proverbs begins. And we're at chapter 1, a few verses in at verse 20, but I would still call that a beginning, with this challenge of accepting or rejecting wisdom. As we embark upon understanding its contents, God gives wisdom a voice, and it tells the story of those who reject her and those who accept her. Those who reject her, it's very clear right here, disaster. You can't get any clearer than this. It says, disaster. And those who accept, verse 33, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything will go good for the one who is living a life of wisdom. But it's certainly not a result of making foolish decisions. Those who live in wisdom and different difficulties that come into their lives. It would seem that this is where it all begins. The following chapters give us vast amounts of truth to help us to be victorious and show us how to walk with God acceptably, walking victorious. Now, we would think it odd to see a person walking in the pouring rain while carrying an unopened umbrella under their arms, wouldn't we? We'd say to that person, we call out to them, hey, it's pouring rain, open your umbrella. Keep yourself dry, protect yourself, right? And they go walking along, drenched in the rain. But rejecting wise counsel is very much like that. We're drenched, and we don't have to be. We're soaked, and we don't have to be. Try to remember the last time you had your mind made up about something, and then you changed your mind or your actions due to counsel that God provided. You were gung-ho about something, you were going to do something, and then either you opened Scripture or somebody mature in Scripture came along and said, hey, that's really not a good idea. Were you able to say, you know what, even though I was very excited about that, or I thought that was really the way to go, were you able to say, you're right? Or maybe even, I don't understand completely how you're right, but God tells me to listen to wise counsel. Were you able to switch directions? Can we do that? If we cannot remember an occasion or occasions like this, then it's likely we are failing or rejecting wise counsel and find ourselves right in our own eyes way too often. Wisdom says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. That is what the Bible says. That is what the book of Proverbs says. And that is what wisdom says here in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. A book that is trying to get us to understand what wise counsel is and to follow it so that we can walk in victory. Walk in victory with a biblical perspective on wise counsel for the book of Proverbs. Finally, number four, I told you that we would touch on what the value of listening to wise counsel. So value the benefits of wise counsel. Place value on it. See it as something that is good and important. See it as something that the Bible says is good and important. That Scripture, that God's Word says you need to place value on. Because it does. Right here. We've already read it and it's very, very clear. Rejecting wise counsel is a sad occurrence. Because the benefits of heeding God's direction for us are wonderful. The opposite of rejecting wise counsel is wonderful. Very beneficial. In some cases, this counsel brings healing in painful times. Chapter 12 and verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, having pain in life and difficulty in life does not always come from, as I mentioned before, making bad decisions or being foolish. Often it does, but sometimes it does not. The tongue of the wise brings healing. So wise counsel from Scripture is a wonderful thing. It brings healing. So when we have hard times, we lose someone we love very much, maybe sometimes even unexpectedly, or persecution that brings pain into our lives. There's a wonderful benefit of wise counsel because God says that wise counsel brings healing. But we need to be able to accept it as we talked about before. At other times, it brings joy to the anxious. Chapter 12 and verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Not false flattery, but an apt word that Proverbs talks about as well, and the value of that. So, all these things are wonderful things that we have from God through wise counsel. Still, on other occasions, it brings success. Chapter 15, verse 22, again, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about the benefits of heeding wise counsel as we see it in the book of Proverbs. But perhaps the greatest benefit of all is what we started with, the fact that heeding these words keeps us in the place where we can truly bring honor and glory to a gracious and loving Heavenly Father and out of the fix it shop. And we have younger people here today sitting with us in this room. And there's going to come times, the same for the older people here as well, there are going to be times in your life where you are going to have the opportunity to place a great value on good and wise counsel. And I can tell you that not only from my own experience, but I've seen other people's lives as well, that this Scripture is true. And the people who are characterized by heeding that counsel are people who have testimonies of bringing glory to God. We heard them this morning. These are people whose lives are characterized by going to Scripture, saying, let me find wise counsel from the Word of God. How should I live? What should I do? And because of that, they are in a place now, not where they are perfect, not where they never make mistakes, but they are in a place now to where the decisions are clear because they've heeded wise counsel. They place value on that. And while the decisions may not be very easy, but the knowing of the right and the wrong to do was very clear in their mind. And they did it, and they were a testimony. That's a beautiful and wonderful value of having and heeding wise counsel. Those kind of people don't often find themselves in the fix-it shop. They don't find themselves saying, what do I do now? Because they've listened to counsel, whether it's from people who are mature in the Word or the very Word itself, a combination of both, which is probably usually what it is. That was the plan, and that's what they followed, and now they honor and glorify God. They walk in victory because they did that now, or years ago, or when they were younger. And now God uses them for His honor and glory. They were not right in their own eyes. So as we close this topic, the pursuing, receiving or rejecting, and understanding the value of wise counsel, we should remind ourselves that responding to wise counsel correctly involves to a great degree humility. And I know I'm pulling a somewhat new topic in here, but I want you to see how it connects. This walk in victory in humility. So first of all, the pursuit, we talked about the pursuit of wise counsel. The only way that I will pursue wise counsel is that if I feel or know that I need it. If I say I'm fine without it, or that I'm wise enough already, then the pursuit is off. I don't pursue it anymore. I'm smart enough. I'm wise enough. I don't need it anymore. Then you're not looking for it anymore. If, on the other hand, I have true humility, then I understand that regardless of how wise I am or think I am, I still need counsel to please God in this life. And I'm going to continue to need it. Humility is key. And if you, the verses, that long passage that we read, as wisdom called out in the streets, it's the humble person that's going to respond to that and say, yes, wisdom, I hear your message and give me more. The receiving of wise counsel. It is humility that allows me to listen to those God has sent into my life to help me, even when I didn't even know I needed them. That's hard. Say, I don't. What I'm doing right now is good and I'm fine, and if somebody comes along and tells me that it's not good and fine, and I don't like to hear that. But if I'm humble, then I will. Humility allows me to be changed, or have a change of mind, because my mind still needs guidance. The third point that we were looking at was rejecting wise counsel. So the rejection of wise counsel. It is the lack of this humility that tells the counselors, thanks but no thanks. You don't understand me or my situation as well as I do. So your counsel, while perhaps appreciated, is no good to me. I still know what's best. And I will tell you, and Brother Paul can tell you sitting back there, that we have heard these very words. You don't understand my situation, as we try to give counsel. People have said that to us. Because either we're older, or we're males, or whatever it is, we have been told, we in our situation cannot understand that person in their situation. And that's unfortunate. And we find no joy at all, but those are the people I was talking about earlier that rejected the wise counsel and go on to have problems in life, significant problems in life. Because nobody else could give them counsel because they didn't understand their situation. Be careful of that. You will feel like that sometimes. Somebody who's trying to help you can't help you because they don't understand what you're going through. Be careful. Wisdom calls out in the streets and says, accept the counsel. Accept the counsel. Because if you don't, disaster lies ahead. But if we're not humble, we will not get close to that place of accepting counsel. And finally, the benefits of wise counsel. Humility helps me to understand how gracious God is to put into my life His servants and His Word to guide me in this life, because I admit that I have a lot to learn. It is humility that gives me the right perspective to see that this is a treasure. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. A friend will give you earnest counsel. Someone who is more interested in their own selves will tell you what they think you want to hear. Look at this again. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. A friend will say, brother or sister, this is bad. This is wrong. Even when they know that it's something that you really, really want. The friend will love you and tell you, you're going down the wrong path. The person who pretends to be a friend will say, you're good. I'm so happy for you that you found yourself or found what you're looking for. They're not concerned about you. They're concerned about themselves. They don't want confrontation with you. They don't want any friction with you. So they will tell you what you want to hear. A friend, one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Earnest counsel. Chester A. McCauley wrote a small book called Portraits and Proverbs, and he says this. These words of wisdom remind us that when good counsel is received, it is to be revered and treasured. Counsel that affirms the will of God is indeed a rare treasure in this world of human viewpoint. And scarce is the man who can enunciate with clarity and precision that which harmonizes and expresses the will of God. When we receive such advice, it should be counted as a valuable prize. Do we have the humility to place value on it? The book of Proverbs gives us this wisdom, and we will walk in victory if we have a biblical perspective on wise counsel from this book. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of all your word, the purity of its truth, and the wisdom that's in it. We thank you this morning specifically for this book of Proverbs. Give us, Father, a great desire to walk in victory, a walk that says victory is obedience to our gracious God who has saved us from our sin. Make us men and women and children who are serious about that walk and serious about the study of your word. And we would ask this in Christ's name.